All right. Hello and welcome to today's Heart Investors Podcast. My name is Brian Meschke and I'm privileged to host this podcast. Today, we are honored to have as our guest a CFO advisor and CEO of Los Angeles-based Hazek Fund Services, Ken Asimi. Ken, how are you doing today?
Hi, thank you, Brian. Thank you. Pleasure to be here and thank you for having me.
Well, it's awesome to have you, and I'm looking forward to hearing your insights on today's topic. As a quick introduction, Ken is the Chief Executive Officer and I believe also the founder of Hazek Fund Services, a fund advisory business that provides fund CFO or Chief Financial Officer services, as well as fund administration service to various investment funds throughout the globe. One of his clients is Startup Health, which is an impact-driven entrepreneur investor-building organization that is creating a global army of thousands of health transformers that are collaborating to achieve 12 health moonshots that they've outlined that include some of the biggest health challenges of our time, like ending cancer, curing diseases like diabetes and Alzheimer's, and delivering quality care to everyone in the world. Ken and I met a few years ago at a Startup Health event up in San Francisco, and so I'm excited to have Ken on today's podcast. But before we get started, a quick little plug for one of our sponsors, Cancer Fund. If you've ever donated to Cancer Research Foundation in the hopes of helping stop cancer, then you may want to learn more about how to invest in Cancer Fund. Cancer Fund is a community of people sharing a passion to change the future of cancer now. They believe that innovation is the key to improving cancer prevention, diagnosis, intervention, and outcomes, and they're committed to helping promising solutions get from the lab to patients to impact their lives. Why invest as little as $500 or more in Cancer Fund? At the end of the day, it helps cancer patients, survivors, and at-risk individuals fund promising cancer therapies, diagnostics, and preventions, and possibly even generate a return on your investment. I've been inspired by the team at Cancer Fund and joined them back in March as a venture partner. To learn more about investing into Cancer Fund, or if you're looking for investment into your early stage company that is looking to make a positive impact for cancer patients, please visit www.cancerfund.com. All righty. Now that we got the advertising plug out of the way, Ken, let's go ahead and get started. I'm looking forward to hearing your insights. I know we've had so many interesting conversations about the topic. So today we're going to be talking a lot about social impact investing in early stage healthcare companies. And so in thinking about that, Ken, what do you think is the importance of impact investors in healthcare?
Really backing entrepreneurs on their vision. So there are people like myself that are view the world in a little bit of a black and white lens, and there's other people that can see a little bit more color and understand healthcare and really have a passion. So it's merging the two in order to achieve a common goal. So in impact investing, you're really trying to back an entrepreneur as opposed to a business. You're really looking at the person and the team to what they're doing to make change. So it's really about that idea and the spark in their eye. That's what we kind of look for on a personal level and as a team basis. It really does come down to the entrepreneur.
No, that's a great insight. I know different investors have talked about the importance of the entrepreneur, but you're actually the first investor-related person we've had on the show that has highlighted that as an important part of impact investing. So I appreciate you highlighting that. Well, tell us a little about some of the experiences that you've had or some of the lessons learned that you've had as you've helped manage these various different funds or and provided CFO services or specifically with Startup Health.
It's been really interesting. It's been really interesting and rewarding. So as you mentioned earlier, we met in San Francisco. So that was the first time me meeting a lot of the entrepreneurs and having the connectivity. So, you know, there was a few entrepreneurs in particular that actually knew me and had worked with friends of mine in a different life and overlapped heavily. So through that connectivity, being able to reach out to so many people, you're able to advise them and say, look, something that may be very small and obvious for me may be something they just haven't contemplated because I look at it every day. So is able to cast the net wide and to create connections and look at people together. So it was really good to see members of the Startup Health community meeting each other for the first time, sharing ideas. A lot of them have done business within the network, which is really important because it's not like you're in a silo trying to do something by yourself and you know, everything being commercially about dollars, these ideas can collaborate, and there could be reasons for slow growth that are common amongst different entrepreneurs, and they're able to help each other. And it being community driven means that people are more likely to help each other because they don't see each other as competition, because the end goal is the same. That is really, really unique, and it allows me to actually help them more, and it allows that a friendship to develop and a real relationship to develop, which keeps people in mind, whether it be a week down the road or 2 years down the road. That is actually one of the benefits of that whole community.
That's a great insight in talking about the community and the ecosystem and how entrepreneurs can work together. I think that's also another important aspect. You know, when we think of impact investing and we think of impact entrepreneurs, it's so much of it, as you mentioned beforehand, is about passion. And so I appreciate you sharing that this passion can be aligned together in a community to really make a difference. So that's awesome. Well, I'm looking at those jerseys hanging on the wall behind you there. The vantage point of the people listening on the podcast, they don't get to see you like I get to see each other face to face. So a lot of people probably don't know that you're also a professional rugby player, Ken, and you've played in the UK. I know where you're originally from, yeah, hence the charming accent. And now I know you live here in the LA area, and I think you play on the Santa Monica team. So I'd love to hear a little bit more, you know, about your rugby background. I know I've heard it, but maybe for our guests to hear. And then I always think that there are things that are transferable, whether it's from sports or from the arts or various different things into entrepreneurship, because there is so much blocking and tackling, and there is a lot of artistry, and there are a lot of things that are transferable. So, you know, what lessons, you know, tell us a little about your rugby experience, and then what lessons from playing rugby have you applied, you know, to the investment activities that you've been involved in?
Oh, thank you. It's my hobby and something that was a huge part of my life, especially when I was younger, and it dominated my time and my energy. I've been able to translate that energy into work, albeit not as smooth as what I try to make it out to be, because it's you start at one place and you finish your rugby career, for me, at the age of 29. And then it was difficult because you're an expert in one thing and you're a relatively novice in a new thing. But it's the teamwork and understanding how other people think and operate and play to get the best out of the group. So I might be good at one thing, someone's good at another, but we have to work together in order to make the team better. And it's very much for rugby, it's really about it doesn't have the same egos and stats as American sports, where it's very much an individual. It's really based on teamwork, where you basically can't do anything without other members of the team. There's a book that I've read about the New Zealand All Blacks, perhaps the kind of most successful rugby team on the planet, and how every single member of the team has a role, none too big, none too small. So you'll find superstars, as we would call it, cleaning the sheds, which basically means cleaning up the changing rooms. So you'll find rugby players, no matter how good you are, helping out behind the bar, doing whatever it takes at your local ground roots level in order to make the whole place run. Because there's a lot of people behind the scenes that make things happen for you when you're a player that you may not see as a supporter, you know, whether it be the person that makes the food to the person that looks after the kit. You almost have a rugby mom and a rugby dad. So understanding that puts you in great stead to not only start a business, but to help entrepreneurs, because anyone that started a business knows that they have to be everything. You are the CEO. You are the one opening the bank accounts. You're the one sweeping the floors. You're the one washing the dishes. You have to do everything. So you have to be empathetic with what these people are doing and what they have in their life. And I feel that being part of that team for so long set me in good stead. And it also makes you understand what's important to you. So you can be successful in business, but I will never earn the right to pull on that jersey behind me again. Too old. You know, it's, right. It's such an uphill struggle, but it means so much to me that I left it in a better place than I found it in. So if you can do that in a business and help people, And in what I do coming in as a fractional CFO, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be involved forever. A lot of my clients will outgrow me, but if I can say I've left it in a better place, so I can look myself in the eye. And also, you're very lucky with, if you do well, your clients are going to refer you new clients. So there could be people starting a new healthcare fund. There could be something other. And as long as you're genuine in how you are operating and how you're helping them grow and how you've helped people, I believe that comes back to you. And I've been in the US now 12 years. And it's taken longer to come back than I anticipated when I first arrived. But it really has. And I'm able to make that connectivity. So the more people I reach, the more portfolio companies I can help, the more knowledge I get, it actually makes my job easier to start maneuvering the pieces. So that is something that I find, you know, really helpful. Sometimes I meet someone and I've got a line of sight to how I can help them and who they're going to speak to and what they need to do. And then you set them up for success. And that is very much how, when you plan at the beginning of a season, what you're going to do, you sit there and you've got all these great plans. And when it works out, probably 5% of the time, it's that little. It looks magical, but you still have the structure that when you get knocked down, you can just pick up where you left off and you have a plan B, C, D, et cetera. And for entrepreneurs, I mean, how many business plans have you seen that haven't gone according to plan? Because you don't know.
Right.
But to have the flexibility to pivot, to move, and especially at seed stage investment in healthcare, you don't know where you're going to actually end up, but you have to have the mindset. The mindset and the determination don't change. It's the plans may be tweaked, but that's what we're looking for.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. It's consistent with what I've seen as an entrepreneur myself, what I've seen in my portfolio companies that I've got equity positions in. I think that's really, really wise counsel. Well, kind of coming back to this podcast and the mission of it, which is to inspire more people to be heart investors as individuals, as organizations, investing in companies and products where the cost is close to their heart. That's really the mission of what we're trying to do here. We think that we see a lot of problems in the world, and we want to help people understand how they can invest, how they can roll up their sleeves and do more than just give into a charity, but actually help some of these early stage technologies or early stage companies and whatever it may be. We've talked healthcare today. It may be the environment. It may be in social justice. It may be in poverty, a host of different things. How do you think that we can inspire more people to become heart investors?
I mean, with podcasts like this to get the message out and then more people to speak about what they're investing in and why. I feel that a lot of people are investing, but they're not really talking about it, or they only talk about when something, you know, rips out a 50x. But you know, you want to say, look, I'm doing this for this reason. This is the impact. So you know, looking at it across multiple, you know, streams and multiple ways of showing success, how many people you've touched, what have you done? You know, so there is a financial aspect of that as well. But to look just beyond the finances and to look at it holistically and say, look, I've invested in this business because A, it makes financial sense, and B, it makes sense because I'm helping a bunch of people, and C, I can see how I can benefit this business. And this is something unique to me because I've got an insight on how I can help businesses. So if I can get that trifecta, it becomes a no-brainer investment. It becomes a less risky investment if I know how they're helping. And then if it's a problem that I am facing and that I've discussed with my friends or my peers, it's like, oh, well, then it's a real life problem.
Right.
And as, you know, coming from the UK, when we have a different healthcare system, it's a real problem. And I'm one of the more privileged people, but it's still incredibly expensive. You know, yeah. For something that I believe should be a lot easier or a lot cheaper. So I don't know how other people even try to get healthcare.
Yeah.
The truth is they probably don't, because it is, you know, it's the main reason for bankruptcy. So yeah. When you look at that,
it's a very, very broken system for sure.
It's a very capitalist driven system. So it's 100% capital driven from the what's in the US. It's not going to change, but it can be made better. It can be improved upon. Technology can take a little bit of a forward seat and get the people what they need at a slightly more affordable price. So that's kind of one of the missions when I see things, and it's real simple things, you know, getting people to their appointments. You know, there's a big problem there. There's a problem in all over the kind of the ecosystem in access to healthcare. So access isn't that I haven't got a hospital, but if you don't have a car to get there, then it's slightly hard, you know, right? If you need an oxygen tank to get there, there's a few things that are just like, oh, crikey, I've never thought of it like that because I have a car. And I'm assuming that everyone, but no, it's not the case. And I have someone that I could go to and get, you know, but that's not always the case. And if you have to go to hospital a couple of times a week, that could be a reason for some hardship.
For sure. No, for sure. We could go on and on and on and talk about how broken the healthcare system is, but I think you've started to scratch the surface and I appreciate that. Well, Ken, thanks so much for joining us today. I know we're running at the end of the hour here to discuss social investment in healthcare and your experiences, including your role advising Startup Health. I really appreciate you answering my questions and sharing your insights with our listeners. It's our hope that by hearing Ken's perspective today, that you too have been inspired to create some positive change in our world and maybe even do something entrepreneurially or as an investor to make the world a better place. Our world certainly needs more heart investors, not just smart investors, but heart investors who really care about these causes. We also want to thank our sponsors. Here at Heart Investors, we look forward to continuing to interview heart investors across the globe every week. To learn more, visit us at heartinvestors.org. I want to thank our producer, Arnav Pagadiala, my co-founder of this podcast, who does all the behind-the-scenes technology work to get our podcasts on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and others. We already have our next 6 guests lined up between now and the end of the year, so keep listening to learn more about social impact investing and social entrepreneurship. So until next time, as I always say, instead of being manipulated by those in the media, industry, and government who seem to focus on the differences between people, let's focus on how people can make a difference. And I think Ken's a great example of that. So Ken, thank you for being on the show today.
Oh, you're welcome. Appreciate it.
Wonderful. Thanks to all our listeners. Make it a great day. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you. Have a wonderful day.